W2GIO.
Wow, hi, Mr. Frank, you're number one. What's going on?
Just playing with my email. I see this, Trump is going to have a rally in Arizona. I didn't see when, but I saw something about the first one in 2022 that Trump's going to have a rally in Arizona.
Well, that'd be kind of exciting. I doubt I'll be going to it, but that will be exciting.
Well, I have a spy in Arizona, so a young lady friend of mine that I've been friends with for the last 20 years, and she's a rebel patriot for sure. Yes, I met her when she was working, she worked around the corner from me at IBM, and the funny thing was, when I saw this person, I said, she was wearing a long, down to this, a really long skirt, flip-flops. She had orange hair and tattoos on her shoulder and a tongue ring. And I had to straighten her out. And now she's a gun-toting patriot. How about that?
Well, that is a good thing, especially since she's a patriot. All righty, Mr. Frank, I've got you down as number two, and I'm going to move down to Mr. Gary. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Oscar X-ray. I've got you, Mr. Gary, as number three.
That's me. I got my speakers on. Yeah, I should have them all started. Yeah, okay. Bob, K-A-8-J-O-Y, W-B-2-J-A-X. Am I high or low, and can you copy me halfway decent, Bob?
Well, I think your voice is normal, and I have you about 25 over S9. You're sounding good here in Ohio.
Wow, that's good. you're an S9 only. You're not tripping up over S9, so. But we got low noise, I think, on the band today, so tonight. So I'm watching a football game on my over-the-air TV antenna on Channel 7, New York Channel 7. So the Dallas Cowboys are 30 and the Eagles are 17. Don't look good for the Eagles, but neither here nor there. Over.
Roger. Well, I have my preamplifier on, so my noise floor with the preamp is 8, and you're about 25.
Well, yeah, that sounds good. All right, I'll let you give are you going to run in that too, or is anybody else supposed to be running it?
Nope. Saturday night is mine.
Roger. Okay, let's stand by for more check-in.
Roger. Thank you. CQ. This is K-A-8-J-O-Y for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
K-O-4-F-E.
Booming signal, Mr. Bill. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Band conditions seem pretty decent. The noise is low, so I'm hoping it'll hold up. KO4FE.
Roger. I've got 31 degrees here in Richfield, and it's raining. So I'm looking at ice starting to build up, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the antenna.
Yeah, Roger, I'm looking at the temperature here. It's 42. That's pretty warm compared to what it was this morning. I think it was in the low 20s this morning.
Yeah, we've been in the teens, and I think the lowest we got somewhere during the week was 9 degrees, so we're going up again. But it is wintertime, so we got to expect it.
Yeah, Roger that.
All righty, let me see who else I can come up with. CQ, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Mr. Run, doesn't sound like you have your amplifier on, but I hear you. Kilo 4, Whiskey X-ray. Good evening from Georgia.
Let's see here, Bob. probably don't not driving around quite enough. Let's see. Hello. Yep. I might have to tone the SWRs down a little bit, but other than that, I'm putting out what the amount of power I'm supposed to be Bob. So anyway, maybe you can copy me. All right, you're Q5 here in Georgia. K-A-H-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
Roger, roger. Well, you came up a little bit, so you're sounding good. KK4WX, K-A-H-J-O-Y. Let me see who else I can come up with. CQ. This is K-A-H-J-O-Y for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie.
November 4, X-ray. Oh, I did it wrong. I'm sorry. Let me correct it.
N4, XYC.
Cleveland, I put echo in X-ray. That was my error. So, good evening, John. You're sounding good from Tennessee.
Okay, thank you, Bob. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen tonight. Just put me into the listening mode, but I just wanted to check in and support the net and say hello to you and everyone else on the memory net. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm just going to sit here and copy the mail.
All righty, John. We'll still stop by and say hi to make sure you're awake, but you don't have to add to it. Just tell us you're still breathing. That's what we want to know.
Yeah, I may want to comment about something as we go through the net. So I'm going to just call me and ask if I have any comments. Okay, boss. K-A-A-J-O-Y from N4. XYC.
Thank you, John. Good to hear you. CQ, looking for additional check-ins for the Saturday night Liberty Net. Nothing to hurt for that last moment. I'm going to do the opening and then we'll catch it on the other side. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest run and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by the late Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the AM net, the gold Liberty thought standard. Go to libertynetradio.org, libertynetradio.org. Don't go to the other domains because your eyes will possibly be burned by pedophilia. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great Liberty Net. With that being said, let me release the mic and stand by if any late check-in. CQ. Nothing heard, so I'll open the door and then I'll check one more time. I know this is not national news, but it's an interesting article from the state of Indiana. Police in Indiana continue investigations after a collision between an Audi A5 fleeing police and a tractor trailer that left two people dead Friday morning. A statement from the Indiana State Police troopers responded to the crash that occurred at about 11:32 a.m. on the westbound Interstate 80, which is the turnpike, 5.5 mile marker near Gary, Indiana. ISP, Indiana State Police, said its primary investigation shows the Lake County Sheriff's Department was engaged in a pursuit of a 2010 Audi A5. During the pursuit, the driver of the Audi lost control of the vehicle and rear-ended a tractor trailer in the right lane. After the Audi struck the trailer, the Audi spun across all lanes and drove into the medium barrier. After hitting the wall, the Audi continued back across the lane in front of the same tractor trailer that it rear-ended and was struck on the passenger side by the front of the truck. The Audi came to final rest wedged under the front bumper of the truck. At some point during the initial impact with the trailer, The 20-year-old female passenger suffered fatal injuries and was ejected from the motor vehicle. A small child was in the car, seat in the rear passenger side of the Audi, and also received fatal injuries. The driver of the Audi is said to have been hospitalized with head injuries. The police chase began when sheriff's deputies attempted to stop the driver of the Audi for speeding and disregarding traffic signals. No one involved in the collision was identified yet as the police. Media reports show the fully loaded flatbed trailer to stop at the intersection and slammed into the side of the Tri-State Stone Inc. The mishap occurred at, they're talking about another incident in Iowa. Truck driver killed Friday after he crashed. My reason for bringing this is, so now they're going to say, oh, the police killed a child. No, the driver of the Audi. All that person had to do was stop. When those lights start blinking, that means the popo wants to talk to you because you've done something wrong and we're going to deal with it. But no, this person decides to go on a run, and like in the city of Cleveland, they won't chase you, so everybody knows just to run. Instead of stopping and being responsible for your actions, today's public, and I know we all see it, you know, they want to run and not be responsible, and two lives were lost because of the driver's actions. So it's just another indication of, you know, the mentality and the mindset of this group today. The crime is rampant. We see it in our cities. I've got articles from the Epic Times that bring that to the light. At some point in time, there just has to be a crackdown, or this whole thing we call America is going to be lost. With that being said, let me try one more time for check-ins, and then we'll go to Mr. Frank. CQ, looking for additional check-ins. Nothing heard. Mr. Frank, Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar from Fishkill, New York. Good evening, sir. What do you have for your opening thoughts?
W2GIO, good evening to fellow patriots. And what are my thoughts? Well, it's 20 degrees in Fishkill. And let's see, what else is interesting? This was really wild. I'm 6 foot. This doesn't have anything to do with anything too political, but I just thought it was really interesting because I am mentoring a 13-year-old girl, and I've been mentoring her for the last 2.5 years. And Thursday, I guess it was. I went over to her family's house, and we were doing a puzzle. And usually we do an arm wrestle sometime in the evening. And then I, just for fun, I said, put your hand up. Well, she put her hand up, and I put my hand, my palm next against hers. And you know what? Her hand is the exact same size as mine. So she's turning into a big girl. And of course, having a black belt, she's my part-time bodyguard. Anyhow, that's my fun and games, my excitement for the new year to be able to enjoy a really interesting young lady. And then, let's see, again, as I mentioned earlier, President, well, yes, I'll say President Trump having a rally in Arizona, I think sometime in, well, I'm not sure this one, but I got a notice on my in one of my emails about a rally in Arizona. So I do have a young lady friend out in Arizona that I've known for quite a long time, and I say she's my spy, but she keeps me up on stuff, and I keep her on top of things too. So we have a mutual agreement to be supportive. So there you go. That's what friends are for. W2GIO, back to you, Bob.
All right, Mr. Frank. Thank you for that. Oh, appreciate it. I'm still squeaking a little bit. I did COVID over Christmas, the latter part of Christmas holiday, and I'm feeling very, very well, but I still got kind of a squeaky little voice, so bear with me. With that being said, thank you, Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar. I will clear with you and wander down to Mr. Gary in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha, and an X-ray. Mr. Gary, good evening. Your opening thoughts.
Oh, okay, Bob. K-A-8-J-O-Y. Liberty Net. Real Liberty Net. This is WB2JAX in New Jersey. I don't have much today. I don't know if you want to call it. I had some burnout watching all the the communist takeover on a TV and some on a computer, but. I'll just make a comment. COVID, my sister-in-law in Bricktown, she wound up getting the COVID. Well, my wife and I take a lot of vitamin D and et cetera, and we can't talk to anybody who is not receptive. She's 81. I'm going to be 80 soon, but when you're stuck in a rut, more or less, you don't pay attention to what other people say. You just follow what you've done for the longest time. Anyway, she feels miserable to the point where she said to my wife, if this continues, I wish I would be dead. Now, that's some kind of a crazy attitude. But anyway, that reminded me when you said you're COVID. I got one thing about passports. And if we don't be very careful and pay attention, now this passport stuff is going to take over. The one thing that I watched was this BitChute. His name is Dr. Vernon Coleman. I've been following his, he's on about three or four different platforms, but BitChute was on today. I don't know how you could say it, he warned everybody that this was coming a year and a half ago. These passports and this digital cash, and I can windbag about it a lot, but I'm just going to make the statement. If we don't pay attention and start using the old methods old-timers, like you're paying cash, and this digital stuff, all these young kids, they can't go 2 feet without looking at their phone, and they're being tracked. We're all being tracked by the phone. All these kind of things are something to be aware of, but unfortunately, the 10 or 20% of us unvaxxed and patriots are going to be snowed under by the lame and the brain people. So anyway, I'm just going to put that out for right now, and I'll wait for round two. Let everybody else take a turn. K-A-8-J-O-Y-W-B-2-J-O-S.
Yes, you're right. If we need to still use cash, I have said in the past, I think it's interesting. I would go to the local shelf station, have a cup of coffee while I was in uniform. People would come in and get a bottle of water, and if the sale is under $5, they charge you 15 cents more. Young person after young person after young person scan their debit card and willingly pay that extra 15 cents. All they had to do was carry a $1 bill in their pocket because the bottle of the water is 99 cents. But instead, they pay $1.14 because they've relied on that plastic card. I just don't get it. So, thank you, Gary. Appreciate that opening. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha, Mr. X-Ray. Thank you, thank you. Let me jump down to Mr. Bill, Kilo Oscar 4. Foxtrot Echo, Mr. Bill in Pennsylvania. Good evening. What is your opening thought?
Okay, KAJOY, the true Liberty Nap. This is KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, conditions seem good. So let's hope they hold up. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm looking, I got my digital thermometer, which of course reads indoor and outdoor temperature, and it's saying 41 degrees, and I thought, well, that can't be right. So I went out and looked at the thermometer on the front porch, and it says 40. So I don't know what's going on here. That's a high temperature for today, if it's true. All right, anyway, got a couple stories here, and get into the stories a little bit, but the main reason why I picked these two stories is to just give you an example of blatant media bias. You know, we've been having this hate fest going on over January 6th. You know, the so-called insurrection, that phony Ted Cruz called it a terrorist attack and all that crap. Media's been going on and on 24/7 about it for days. Well, here's a story that you haven't heard about. This was an actual terrorist attack. And luckily it was stopped. But anyway, this is national file. Terrorists attempted to bomb Florida January 6th rally, media complicit. That's the headlines. It's got a picture of this Antifa dirtbag. You know, you look at these leftists, they either got two looks. One is that of a crazy person, and the other one is a dirtbag with these dead, soulless eyes, and this guy fits the latter category. But anyway, let's get into this story. Florida State Rep. Anthony Sabatini, now a candidate for the U.S. House, is laying blame at the mainstream media outlets after a uniformed Antifa domestic terrorist attempted to bomb a Florida January 6th rally where he was the keynote speaker. Garrett Smith, 22, was arrested for allegedly carrying an active pipe bomb and other explosives while attempting to enter a rally protesting the treatment of January 6th political prisoners. Police say Smith had an active pipe bomb on his person and revealed that a search of his house, which he shares with his parents naturally, revealed more explosives, tape and nails for grenades, and a so-called direct action checklist that included an Antifa symbol. The helmet police found Smith with also contained three spears, another known Antifa symbol. Sabatini described Smith as a domestic terrorist who attempted to instill fear into conservatives calling for due process. Sabatini told the National File, he said, it's sick and twisted that the mainstream media has decided to totally ghost the story because it goes against the narrative. The narrative being that everyone who believes the January 6th prisoners deserve due process rights as a so-called domestic terrorist. The fact that we have a legitimate domestic terrorist, a radical leftist pipe bomber, showing up at the rally in order to kill a bunch of people while wearing Antifa gear, said the Florida Republican. He's completely ignored by the media. The media is complicit in this violence and danger. Then it goes on, various tweets by Representative Sabatini shows evidence collected by the police. It says it's been confirmed that Smith recently returned to his parents' home after spending an unknown period of time in Portland, Oregon. Oh, geez, that city is a known recruitment area for Antifa. The so-called direct action checklist, police found that Smith's home contains the typical uniform of Antifa, including clothing to participate in the, quote, black block, unquote, tactical unit that allows them to evade capture. Under gear, the checklist included a black umbrella, which is used by Antifa members to obscure themselves from security cameras and deflect less than lethal crowd control projectiles. Other gear on the list includes a gas mask, a baton, lighters, pepper spray, flammable rags, flammable satchel, and construction nails. Sabatini says he believes Smith was radicalized by the media. He said they know their narratives and rhetoric spur these types of extremists to plan methodical killings, yet they have no regret, said Sabatini. They pay no action to the effects of their actions, and this is disturbing and disgraceful. The media is willing to knowingly drum up this type of extremist. And then there's another tweet where it shows this dirtbag in police custody. Of course, he's all dressed up in black with one of those face coverings that you see. Local media has characterized the story in vague terms and included extraneous information about a January 6th defendant that left many, including Sabatini, confused. The event has received little national attention outside of conservative circles. While Sabatini was noticeably on edge after his brush with disaster, he both stressed that the rapid police response from Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galteri and his department should give conservatives reason to feel safe, and said that this foiled attack should not keep conservatives from expressing political opinions. He said, don't let the radical left and the true domestic terrorists instill fear upon the peaceful, patriotic Americans, those who stand up for the U.S. Constitution, he said. And then he goes on to talk about the story, a couple remaining details. Here's a picture of the so-called direct action checklist, and it's taken from this Antifa terrorist. It's got all this stuff here, flammable rags, laser pointer, pepper spray, pocket knife, matches, and some other various things. So anyway, they got this guy in custody, I assume. I mean, knowing some of these judges and prosecutors, you can never be sure, but they did catch him with the pipe bomb. There's no doubt about that. So I expect he's in jail, but the interesting thing is, have you heard any of this on the national media? I mean, an Antifa activist caught red-handed with a bomb and a checklist, an action checklist, and other paraphernalia trying to infiltrate a rally by a Republican politician. Have you heard one word about that? Nope. I didn't even know about it until I checked the National File website. Okay, here's another story. This is another example of media bias by omission. This is KO4FE. Lonnie Guinier, civil rights lawyer, professor, dead at 71. I don't know, probably some of you guys remember her. She was someone that Bill Clinton tried to appoint for some position. I'm sure the story I'm going to read here briefly will explain that. But if you remember, she was advocating that black people should get like 3 votes in every election. Well, anyway, it says Lanier was the first woman of color appointed as a tenured professor at Harvard Law School in 1998. It says Lonnie Lanier, a civil rights lawyer and scholar whose nomination by President Bill Clinton to head, oh, she was to head the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division was pulled after conservatives criticized her view on correcting racial discrimination has died. She was 71. Lanier died Friday. Harvard Law School Dean John F. Manning said in a message to students and faculty, her cousin Sherry Russell Brown said in an email that the cause was complications due to Alzheimer's disease. Well, anyway, I'm not going to read much about her, but the point I wanted to read was it had to do with her parents. It said, now listen to this. It goes on, talks about her various activities, her early life. But here's the thing I wanted to read. It said, Carol Lonnie Lanier was born on April 19, 1950 in New York City to Eugenia Paplin and Ewalt Lanier. Ewalt was born in Panama to Jamaican parents and was raised in Panama and Boston. Was one of two black students admitted to Harvard College in 1929. He was forced to drop out in 1931, unable to afford school after he was excluded from financial aid and campus housing, but ultimately returned to Harvard as a professor and the first chair of the Afro-American Studies Department in 1969. So he was black. Her father was black. Her mother, Paprin, a Jewish civil rights activist, graduated from Hunter College in 1939. Now, this is the money quote here off of Wikipedia, and that can be hardly called a right-wing site. Lanier's parents met in Hawaii and were both members of the Communist Party of Hawaii and the Hawaii Civil Rights Congress. So here you go. Here's a professor, a Clinton appointee. He was obviously raised as a communist. I don't know if she identified as a communist, but her parents were both card-carrying members of the Communist Party of Hawaii. And nowhere in this article about Lonnie Lanier is there any mention of her parents both being members of the Communist Party. Now, the point I want to make is, can you imagine, pardon me for a second, can you imagine any conservative person, college professor, politician, anybody of note that would be well known enough to have an article written about their death, whose parents were, say, that members, both card-carrying members of the Ku Klux Klan or some other equally radical group as compared to the Communist Party. Now, keep in mind, being a member of the Communist Party, I mean, that was back when we were fighting communism, when Russia was our enemy, and we were fighting wars and doing all kinds of things around the world to stop communism, and this Lonnie Lanier's parents were both members of the Communist Party. But anyway, could you imagine the media today publishing a article about a conservative or right-wing figure that would fail to mention if both of their parents had been members of the Ku Klux Klan or the American Nazi Party or any such group on the right? This is bias by omission. I didn't even know about her parents until I was reading through the comments at the bottom of the article, and I saw, well, somebody wrote that her parents were communists, and then sure enough, I looked, and I didn't even have to go any further than Wikipedia to find out that both of her parents were card-carrying members of the Communist Party. And there's no doubt that Lonnie Guinier was a communist. She was raised in that kind of background. So it's no wonder she had the views that she had. But can you imagine that they omitted that from her, from the article about her death? Amazing. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Bill, well, thank you, sir. Good presentation. Appreciate it. KO4FE, KHAOY. Let me jump down to Mr. Russell, AK4WX, Mr. Russ, in Georgia. What's your weather like, and what are your opening thoughts? AK4WX, KHAOY, Mr. Russ, you with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. I wasn't quite ready to pull the trigger here yet, but anyway, I'm here now. Let's see, let me check my FWR. Yeah, everything looks pretty good, so good deal. A good copy on Bill there, KO4FE, and appreciate those comments there, Bill. Spot on 100%. I don't have a whole lot here to say on this one. I'm not sure I'll have a whole lot the next one either, Robert, but I got a little email that was kind of been a, I guess it's kind of a joke in a way, but it's not a joke. Got a picture of our founding fathers, and it showed one of the ones that's standing up, and it says the typical American today versus what we had in 1976. In other words, Americans in 1776. Versus 2022, and it says, shows a guy up there holding his hand up, says, give me liberty or give me death. Unless there's a virus with a 99% recovery rate, in which case, strip me of my freedom, my job, my constitutional right, and put me under house arrest. I thought that was pretty good. It pretty much spells out our current situation, which is almost unbelievable. I was watching this, I think it was on Lindell TV, if I'm not mistaken, and attorney Tom Morant, and don't know if you guys ever heard of him, but he's been very, very active with all this COVID-19 and the shots, the jabs, so to speak, vaccine and whatnot. But they were commenting on the Supreme Court thing that was going on, I think it was Friday, yesterday, and they had some of the recordings live from the Supreme Court. And basically what Tom Rent said was that it sounded like the attorneys that was arguing for the better, I think it was for the small business associations or whatever, and they were basically arguing against the mandate. He said it sounded to him like they might have been working for Pfizer. I mean, these Justice is, I think it was Kagan and what's the other one? The Sotomayor or something was making all kind of some unsubstantiated claims about there was more children in the hospitals than there's ever been, and just numbers and numbers of people that were coming down with COVID. And anyway, they didn't even challenge. They didn't even challenge what these justices were saying, and they didn't even bother to ask them, well, where are you getting your information at? What kind of studies are these that you're basing your comments on? But they instead, they just let them go and spew out their, basically, they're just lies and propaganda to try to convince everybody that, I guess it looks like they're going to be for the mandate before it's all over with. It wouldn't surprise me any. So I don't know if we got much of a chance on pushing this mandate back or not, Robert, but it's not looking too good. So another thing that I'm not even sure they brought up is I didn't hear anything being brought up about religious exemption. So what if COVID is killing this many people and so-and-so and this and that? What about our rights to religion? How is it that we no longer have the constitutional right to express our religion if our religion is to refuse the vaccine and not put that god-awful stuff in our bodies and our bloodstream? Then why should we be made and mandated and basically lose our job if we don't take the jab? It just, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. No mention, from what I could hear, of anything about religious exemption. So I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. I know we got a stay from one judge, a federal judge somewhere, that kind of, I guess, kind of was on the side of the United States Navy SEAL team, who was basically filed a lawsuit against the mandate. So we'll see how that goes. So far, so good on that, but I don't know about the rest. So, I don't know, guys. It's not looking too good the way those few. And it's funny, the main ones I heard was that Sotomayor and that Elena Kagan, two women that Obama appointed. So that's what we get. That's what we get for having somebody like Obama as president. I don't know if Trump's appointees are going to do any better. It's just totally amazing to me. It looks like the only one that we've got on our side on the Supreme Court anymore is the one black Justice Clarence Thomas. So who knows how this thing's going to go. That's about it for this round, Robert. So back over to you, and hope you're able to copy me here in Georgia. KAHJOY from
KK4WX, over. Roger, KK4WX, KHJY. Yes, that Sotomayor said 100,000 children are sick with it. But yet, if you look at the CDC pediatric hospitalization, it's only about 5,000 children nationwide. So where did she get that exorbitant number? And no one held her to the fire to say where her statistics are from. That's sad. KK4WX, thank you, Mr. Russ. Let me jump down to John in Cleveland, Tennessee, and see if he has a comment. November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie, Mr. John. heard from John this time and for XYZ. So that'll take me to Mr. Jesse. Welcome, Jesse. KZ4ZX Tennessee, KAHJONY.
I think Jesse is in monitoring.
Well, let's see. It doesn't say. I am looking. I don't see anywhere it says that Jesse is just monitoring. I've got him in there as my relay station. Let me shout out from again. Mr. Jesse, KG4ZX Tennessee, KHOI.
Yeah, I think you got it. This is WB2JAX. I was looking on the blue screen there, and I think he doesn't have a radio where he's located, Bob.
Alrighty, let's see. Jesse just text message. No radio. Thank you. I will correct that. I appreciate it. Let me take it down to Mr. Clint. I received a photograph today from him. He's doing some remodeling. It looks pretty nice. Mr. Clint, KC8EHR. How are you doing, sir? As far as what do I have going on, as far as what, sir? Well, right after Christmas, I get the COVID, most likely the Omicron. I had a slight fever and then a little bit of congestion, a cough, kind of fatigue. But anytime I do anything with congestion, it ends up giving me a laryngitis. So I'm just kind of squeaking with my voice, but I feel great, over.
Up on some kind of stage, and she would have sat on it, but they were saying here,
This in your state, or was this that one that was in the state of Wisconsin?
This was in our state, but I remember that. And I'm against that, first of all, okay? I'm against that, but the way they went over it was totally wrong. And the union went over there, started getting violent, and then Donna Snyder actually locked the door to our state capitol.
Well, why I asked is last night on either Stinchfield or Greg Kelly, they talked about in 2011 when a bunch of Democratic protesters stormed the Washington, no, the Wisconsin state capitol and occupied it just shy of a month, like 3 weeks and so many days, they occupied the state capitol. Now that would be an insurrection. The incident on January 6th was like 4 hours, where this one in Wisconsin was almost a month. And Nancy Pelosi even made comments about them showing their force and taking control. But now she whines and cries like a little bitch about January 6th. Or, since we're talking about January 6th, how about when Kamala Harris said she's comparing January 6th, 2021, to September 11th, 2001, or December 7th, 1941. She made the comparison of all 3 days. How wrong was that? Amendment away from you, they want to pass laws that you would most likely shoot them for if you didn't have the Second Amendment. Let me see if I have any late check-ins. This is KHLY for the Great Liberty Net.
Hello, Robert. This is Alpha Bravo. I'm just listening tonight. I don't have anything to add, but I am listening along, enjoying the net. Over.
And for all of you, just listening, Bob.
Alrighty, let me, for some reason it didn't let me put you in. AB8MO, thank you for listening. You're sounding good here, Andy, down here in Richfield. And N4ROQ, Mr. Larry, are you going to be able to transmit, or are you listening also?
Just listening there. Okay, great job, Al. Your voice comes back okay.
Yeah, it takes a lot of air to make sound. That's what's kind of a pain about it. All righty, you both. I've got you in. I'll still stop by and check on you. I'm going to read an article from the Epic Times. Progressive prosecutors face backlash as crime surges. Races for local chief prosecutor's office were once about who appeared to be toughest on crime. Often called district attorneys or state attorneys, local chief prosecutors are publicly elected at county and sometimes city levels to steer criminal prosecutions on behalf of the people of a particular state. But since roughly a decade ago, a slew of progressive prosecutor candidates have won local races across, aided by public sentiment following high-profile police-involved deaths and money from liberal donors such as George Soros. The prosecutors in these progressive wave most directly run on a two-pronged platform, going softer on crime to drive down the number of people, particularly black people, in jails and prisons, while going tough on the police to root out what they call bad apples. Upon assuming the office, they fire the old guard and hire young idealists. I gotta flip the page here. I think I got one more page to flip. This page got me a picture of mine. Boy, I don't want that. Idealists clear up obstacles to their new agenda. Former prosecutors say this deteriorates the quality of criminal prosecution. However, as crime reaches historic highs in many cities where progressive agendas have been enacted, these prosecutors face a rising backlash. 2 weeks ago before Christmas, when Philadelphia surpassed its historic record of 500 homicides, District Attorney Larry Kressner said, "We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence." However, they surpassed their record. His comment quickly drew criticism from every corner of the city. Days later, Kressner apologized and walked back his comment. To the Shreve Newton, a former homicide prosecutor of Kressner's office, the comment confirmed that Kressner case is more about the people locked up than the people dying of gun violence. That's one of the reasons why Newton, who had become a prosecutor to do justice for black communities, left that office in 2020. Newton still remembered the first meeting Kressner had with the prosecutors after assuming office. Kressner told him that his mission was to end mass incarceration, which still didn't sit well with Newton. "I don't think a prosecutor's purview is any mass incarceration. A prosecutor's job is to hold people accountable for breaking the laws. We try to get a fair and just outcome for every case based on the individuals, the crimes that they have committed. Be it to withdrawal, prosecution, or on to leniency, or harsh sentence," Newton told me every time. So again, we see what's happening across our nation. Philadelphia, we see it happening out in California, we see it happening in New York. I mean, even it happening here in my state of Ohio, in Cleveland and Columbus. We're always attacking the officers, but people are dying at a tremendous rate. I just have another article today from a woman in the area of Cleveland. Drive-by shooting, shot and killed in her motor vehicle. You know, they don't have suspects. People are just killing each other. And what's really interesting, all we hear about is how black lives matter, but there's so many blacks that are killed by other blacks, and not a word is said about that. That's just so interesting. It's such a double standard. With that being said, let me go back up to Mr. Frank, Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar, Mr. Frank, K-A-H-A-O-Y.
W2GIO. Hey, I'm going to bail out here because I got to get up early tomorrow morning, so I got to try to behave myself a little bit. I'd like to stick around, but not going to do that. I'm going to leave with the good news, and that is that the really good news that God does love us. God loves us and wants to bless us. So thank you very much, everybody, for being here, and we'll say goodnight. W2GIO, thank you, Bob.
All right, Mr. Frank, thank you. I appreciate you being with us. It's a pleasure to hear you. Whiskey is signing out. Whiskey 2, Golf Fight Oscar. Let me jump down to Mr. Gary. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-Ray. Mr. Gary in Pleasant Point, your thoughts on round number 2?
Okay, Bob, K-A-H-J-O-Y, W-B-2-J-A-X. I don't know, the band kind of switched around. I didn't hear G-I-O, Frank, from Fishkill. Can you copy me all right, Bob?
I do copy you. The band does seem to have freezed a little bit, but I still copy you with no trouble.
Oh, roger, okay. I got a few things here, if I can pull them up. The Sonora, the Supreme Court Justice, I can't even pronounce her name there, Seorda woman, it just goes to show you, show everybody, how what we're dealing with in the criminal justice system, and also social type of issues, when nine people can dictate, or they're supposed to be upholding the Constitution. However, it's all opinions the way I look at it. Everybody kind of believes that they're the gods of the world, but I have a different perspective about that. I think every individual should be doing their own job, living their life the right way, or however you want to describe it, and not rely on nine people to dictate. So that's one rant. The other one is Kazakhstan, I believe that's how you pronounce it, and over in the, I guess it would be the eastern part of near China and Russia and all that area over there, they had burned the Capitol building down, and they blamed it on fuel prices, which is a bunch of, I guess in my opinion, reading from what I read, a bunch of baloney. These people rejected the COVID passport, the COVID, whatever you want to classify it as, lockdowns, etc. So they just burned the Capitol building down. I think the Russians had to go in there and quell the uprising, but it wasn't over fuel. That's only the things that they do in this country. They give you 100 things to look at, while they sneak the real big things, the one that the corporations want to protect, the mining in other countries, etc., on and on. So we're bombarded with all this nickel and dime stuff when the real issue is how do you live your life and conform with the government mandates or tell them all to go to hell. That's what I thought. My life is about that. I tell them all to go to hell. Being fired from two jobs because I didn't participate in the baloney in my course of probably more life. Anyway, what is the other one I wanted to bring up? Morgan, J.P. Morgan Chase Company had been fined again for screwing around with the silver and commodities, the gold and silver. They keep that down as much as they can. They want to print this money until they collapse the whole country with the Fed and all these other garbage people. The main thing you look at is you got a credit card, you're paying, I don't know, 6%, 10%, whatever, and if you got a savings account or a checking account, what do you get? You get nothing. I repeated that again many times, but it doesn't sink in to people. So anyway, I got a few other things though, but I don't want to hold it up. So KAAJAYWB2JAA.
All righty, thank you very much, Gary. We appreciate it. Get your articles gathered up for round number three. With that being said, let me wander down to Mr. Bill, KO4FE. Mr. Bill, KHLY, your thoughts on round number two?
Okay. K8JOY Liberty Net from KO4FE. Well, Bob, I'll tell you, you know, sometimes you can get, they talk about returning troops having PTSD. I'll tell you what, anymore, I almost get PTSD from reading some of these damn news stories. I mean, some of them, well, you're gonna get on. I'm going to come at you with lock, stock, and two smoking barrels on these two stories. These are just unbelievable, the insanity. But anyway, let me get into the first one. Listen to this, Breitbart. Doctors back NHS-funded womb transplants for transgendered people. This is unbelievable. Leading doctors have said they'd back NHS-funded womb transplants for biological males who identify as women, a procedure which experts say will be possible within 10 years. Let's just, I like when I hear stories like this, it's kind of hard to follow it. So I tell people, just explain it to me like I'm in fourth grade, because with the terminology and some of these crazy ideas, I get confused. But anyway, so what these doctors want to do is they want to have taxpayer-funded womb transplants. That means taking ovaries and uteruses out of women, I guess, young dead women, maybe car accidents, what have you, and opening up these men who think they're women and transplanting these ovaries and uteruses into these mentally deranged men. That's what they want to do. But anyway, continuing with the story, it says, it is believed that medical funding and advances will make this procedure possible within a decade after pioneering operations at the University of Gothenburg on wombless women have seen at least five children born as a result of a procedure similar to the one doctors are working towards. Prompted by the Swedish team's success, activists demanded the NHS make womb transplants available to male-born transgender people. A call doctors and fertility experts told the Mail on Sunday that they back. So the doctors and fertility experts support this. Consultant gynecologist Dr. Arianna D'Angelo of the DHS's Wales Fertility Institute said it was right. Now listen to this. From an ethical point of view, I don't know what ethics she's talking about. Ethics coming straight out of hell, maybe. She said, we already have fertility preservation for transgender people to give them the possibility to have their own genetic child. So I don't see much of a difference between that and actually delivering their own child. Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Arianna D'Angelo, if you don't see any, it's all craziness. Dr. Francois Sheffield, a clinical lecturer in obstetrics and gynecology at the University College London, who has treated infertile NHS patients for 30 years, added her support and pointed to the UK's equality laws. she said if we are saying we should have equality and we have legislation defending the rights of transgender people, I do not see why not. Another idiot. You know, this idea of equality is probably one of the most pernicious ideas ever concocted. I understand what Thomas Jefferson was talking about, but when you apply it to everything, it's just completely destructive because there's nothing equal in this world. Nothing is born equal on a very fundamental level. Men and women aren't equal. Races aren't equal. Even individuals aren't equal. I'm not equal to even myself 30 years ago. And I'm not equal now to what I am going to be in 50 years because I'm going to be dead. This idea of equality is just craziness. So anyway, that's what's coming. They want to take men and transplant female organs into them so that they can get pregnant and have babies. This is crazy. Well, anyway, here's another story. This is just as bizarre. This is KO4FE. This is Gateway Pundit. Last story was off Breitbart. Now listen to this headline. Serial killer who targeted women now being housed in women's prison because it is transgender. So a man who was a serial killer of women is now saying he's a woman, and so they put him in the women's prison. Again, you got to explain this stuff in a very simple way, because this stuff just gets a normal person confused. But anyway, it says a male serial killer who targeted women, claiming to have killed 9 women, is now housed in a women's prison after being transgender. The so-called Donna Perry, born Douglas, has been transferred to the Washington Correctional Center for Women under new laws that allow gender self-identification. Perry, who was convicted in 2017 of first-degree murder for the violent slayings of prostitutes Yolanda Sapp, 26, Nikki Lowe, 34, and Kathleen Brisboy, 38, in 1990. Although he was only prosecuted for 3 killings, he claims there were 9. The defense in Perry's case actually had the audacity to claim that it was, so listen to this, the defense in Perry's case actually had the audacity to claim it was Douglas Perry, his former identity, who killed the women, not Donna Perry, his new identity. So his defense lawyer's saying they're 2 different people. The prosecution argued that it was likely Perry had fled to Thailand and underwent gender reassignment surgery in order to avoid suspicion for the murders. Perry was sentenced to 3 life sentences without the possibility of parole. Now listen to this, he's not the only one. A report from 4W explains that Perry was one of over 150 males who now identify as female who were moved to the women's prison. How'd you like to be a woman in that prison? In December 2021, a female former inmate at the WCCW anonymously came forward and reported that the institution has been experiencing a wave of sexual assaults on vulnerable female inmates by trans-identified males who received transfers to facility after identifying as female. Oh! Who would have ever thought that would have ever happened? One such assault was committed by, now listen to this name, Princess Zoe Andromeda Love, a biological male with a criminal history that included the rape of a 12-year-old girl. Love sexually assaulted a developmentally disabled female inmate just prior to his release, at which point he allegedly began identifying as a male again. So the guy raped a 12-year-old girl. Then he claimed to be a female and was put in a female prison. Then he sexually assaulted a retarded, disabled female inmate at the jail. Then he got out of jail, and then he went back to being a man. I mean, this kind of stuff, this insanity is just beyond belief. But that's what's happening. This is today's world, Bob. So anyway, back to you. KAAJOY, True Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Wow, that is just overwhelming. It makes me curious, though. You'll hear all these men trying to be wussies or pussies. How come they're not putting penises on women and taking out their uteruses and ovaries?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question, but don't think it's not going to happen.
Well, that's true. It probably will. It just seems to be the wussification is just out of control in this country. Thank you, Bill. Definitely with both barrels. I think I have a little PTSD after hearing your talk. KO4FE, KAJOY. Down to Mr. Russ. Mr. Russ is probably still sitting back in his chair wondering what he just heard. KK4WX, KAJOY. KK4WX, Mr. Russ, you still with me? KAJOY. Nothing to hurt, I'll slide past that and I'll go down to Mr. John. Mr. John, what do you think about those articles? November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie, KAJOY.
Yeah, okay, Bob. Good evening. And good evening to everyone on the Liberty Net here tonight. As I sit back tonight and listen to all the comments, I can't help but think the lecture that my mom gave me when she found two marijuana cigarettes hidden in socks in my sock drawer when I was about 18 years old. And my mother was a very smart person, and she read about 10 books per month, or excuse me, about 10 books per week. And she took me into the little room and she sat down and she said, now, all of this youth culture that you're experiencing, and the year was about 1972, she explained to me that it was all cultural Marxism, and that it was, you know, the destruction of our society put together by the Frankfurt School at Columbia University. And it was all these intellectual college professors from Germany that Hitler kicked them all out. And so when you read all this stuff about gender and everything, that's cultural Marxism. Get on YouTube or get on Rumble or some of the others and just type in cultural Marxism, and you'll understand what their plan is. They couldn't take us with weapons, but they want to overthrow America and create their communist utopia here in the United States. So we got to really push back and say it's cultural Marxism, you know, the destruction of, there was a communist philosopher named Antonio Gramsci, And he wrote a book about, he wrote a book about all this. Anyway,
I wanted to make one more comment.
Barack Obama's grandparents were card-carrying members of the Communist Party. And that's something we kind of forget about. But that's a fact. And his whole life was a fraud. And his whole life is a total lie. He has no connection to Africa whatsoever. And Barack Obama, Barry Obama, is who he went by for most of his life. He's the son of Frank Marshall Davis. And Frank Marshall Davis was an American communist back in the 1940s and 50s. So that explains a lot. That explains why Susan Rice is in the White House today and some of the others. Barack Obama's running this country along with that old communist from up there in Vermont, Bernie Sanders or whatever his name is. They're running this country. And I think that it's all going to catch up with them in this next election, the 22 election. And so I'm kind of sitting back and waiting because I think that that the chickens are going to come home to roost, and this is all going to catch up with all of this evilness that's been perpetrated by the Democratic Party and the radical left. N4XYC, back to net control.
I can only hope that it does, John. I just hope it does. So thank you, sir. N4XYC, KJY. Mr. Jesse, I'll wave at you. KG4ZXNC, good evening. That takes me down to Mr. Clint. KC8EHR, Mr. Clint in Michigan. Back to you, sir.
Remember this?
Yes, thank you very much. KCADHR, KHLY. I'm going to run down and wave in here to Andy, Alpha Bravo 8, Mike Oscar. Andy, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, hi Robert. The only thing I'm going to add, and this is heavy in my heart, because I guess the Supreme Court has started hearing oral arguments about the siding on, I guess I judge him as King Biden. I just want to encourage all of us who are believers to lift that up in prayer that the Lord will step in the hearts of the justices, especially the ones who are Bible believing and that he will open their eyes to the potential ramifications. I think it's going to be a problem for this group.
Yeah, I'm just listening in, and she's just listening in, and you can put
blood pressure in, and I'm just listening from here on out. J-A-H-J-O-I, this is J-E-H-G-U-C.
All right, Jeff, thank you, and thank you, Kathleen, K-E-H-G-U-D. Excuse me, appreciate both of you for being with us. That takes me to the bottom of the list, so let me check and see if I have any late check-ins.
Hey, hello. Hello, Quebec 4 Echo November, late check-in. First name, Reed.
Reed, I didn't, you broke up when you said it. Say the call again so I can type it in.
Kilo, Quebec 4 Echo November, Moxville, North Carolina, radio.
Sir, thank you. Kilo Quebec 4 Echo November. Mr. Reed, you got anything to add to it? Over.
Yes. I love you guys, and I just turned it on and I loaded up. I hope you can hear me good. I'm gonna list people that I hate. I was in here when Bill was talking. He's talking about these transgenders and the stuff they pull on us. And I was laughing part of the way, but it's not funny. They're stupid. What in the world? How is that? It is not normal. So that's serious. It's not funny. It's not something to laugh about. These people are weird. It's totally unreasonable. And I started taking down notes, but I didn't get any notes here. Just the people I despise. Al Sharpton's one. All the Democrats. I don't understand why they think the way they do. Do they really believe their bull stuff? They just don't. I really don't have a good report today, Bob. I like your conversation, and you guys are just as frustrated as I am. I forgot what I was gonna say. I forgot everything. I'm late getting in here, and I didn't prepare. But you guys carry on. I love to listen to you. This is first name Reed. I'm in Moxville, North Carolina. KQ4AM. Your turn.
Roger, Reed. It does make you wonder, how can they really believe? How can Kamala Harris get up in front of national television and say January 6th, where nobody brought firearms and the Capitol Police murdered a U.S. Air Force veteran, that day was worse than Pearl Harbor, where over 2,000 people died at the hands of the Japanese in December 7th of 1941, or worse than the Twin Towers coming down and over 3,000 people dying at the hands of terrorism. How can they honestly stand up there with a straight face and say that to the American public? You've got to wonder what is wrong with them. It really is. Alrighty, I'm going to go to the top of the list. It's the 73 round. I've got an article out of the Epic Times. It says January 6th, detainee at risk of dying from lack of medical care. A defendant being held in Virginia in connection with the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol is extremely ill and at risk of dying because the jail refuses to provide proper medical care and a special diet for his celiac disease. New York attorney Joseph McBride alleges they're starving this guy out, McBride told the Epic Times. They have moved him 6 times since he's been detained. We can't send him to a facility that's not going to be able to take care of him. Even the worst murderers in our country get proper medical care. Christopher J. Quaglin's case is the most recent in a series of allegations that the January 6th defendant at beaten, tortured, and denied food and proper medical care while in the federal custody. A group of 14 lawmakers on January 3rd sent a letter to Michael Carvajal, director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, demanding that you use your authority to investigate the abuse. We will use our authority to investigate your failure. Many instances of physical and psychological abuse, denial of medical care, 24-hour solitary confinement, denial of basic personal hygiene, denial of access to legal counsel, destruction of records, and general abuse of rights and mandates standards for prisoners have been brought to our attention, the lawmakers wrote. The letter was originated by Republican Clay Higgins of Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from the great state of Georgia. The article goes on. I won't read the whole article, but you could find it on Epic Times. And yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene has basically been sounding the alarm for the abuse. It's going on a year that these people have been detained. We don't detain the bastards from the Black Lives Matter or Antifa. But yet these people were escorted into the Capitol. It's just bizarre. But again, it's a way for this group of politicians to cause the patriots to have fear. And that's what they're doing their best at. With that being said, I'm going to go to the top of the list for the 73 round. Mr. Gary from New Jersey, Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-Ray. Your final thoughts, Mr. Gary?
Okay, Bob, KOSJAYWB2JAX for Jersey. I only want to make a comment about the idiot that was elected mayor in New York City. He wants a 3-day work week. This is the type of thing that when they campaign, they're going to do X, Y, and Z, and when they get elected, they come out off the wall with that 3-day work week that's going to turn into a few weeks on a 5-day work week. What kind of insanity do these people come up with? I used to go to New York quite a bit. I stay away from that place because there are nuts in that place. All the things that they could accomplish. In the summer of 2021, things got back to halfway decent normal, and then they turned around and did the same junk all over again with the shutdown stuff. So I don't know where these people are coming from. So as far as operation when you chop a guy's penis off and you put a vagina in there, I saw something on TV early in the morning, and the guy's leaning over in the operating room and he said, "Oh, look how nice that vagina looks." I don't believe I'm looking at this. This is crazy. But I guess it's like one of those Link TV or Free Speech TV. Those channels, they put all kind of questionable stuff. Wisconsin had their own city for a while. I guess that was an accomplishment for Black Lives Matter. A couple of city blocks that they warded off and said, "This is our city now." Prosecutors don't back them up and all the ridiculous stuff that goes on. New Jersey right now is going through a transition period. I don't know how we're going to come out the other end because the governor wants another 3 months of executive dictates. He wants to. This stuff doesn't end. That's why I say, you got one shot, two shots. You want to get another jab, the 3, the 4, and then maybe this summer you'll have 5, 6, and 7. This is all dictators we're running into.
Roger, roger on that. Well, they're trying to make you a patient for life, and I urge I think it's a joke, but I heard that tampons, there's going to be a shortage of tampons because of all the vaginas that we're installing in all these men. Over.
You know, we can make a little jokes about this stuff. I really don't know what happened. As you know, 3 or 4 years ago, if somebody had told me I'd be talking on my amateur radio about vaginas and standing men, I would say, what is this guy? Call somebody in the medical department and get an ambulance over here because this person I'm talking to is crazy. But I guess I'm the crazy one, don't you?
Yeah, but just remember, there'll be a shortage of tampons because of all the pussies that are appearing. It's really sad. Thank you, Gary. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-ray, KJY. Mr. Bill, you started it with all this transgender. I'm bringing it back to you for your final thoughts, KO4FE, KJY.
Okay. KAJOY Liberty Net KO4FE. Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, I guess with the trans stuff, I got to keep it moving. Except this time, I'm going to tie trans activism into the communism. We're going to bring it all home on this article. This is Breitbart. Listen to this headline and think about the fact that such a person is in a university. Here's a headline. New York University faculty member says trans activism is part of the communist revolution. So if there's any confusion there about what's going on, this I like it when these leftists, you know, they think they're talking amongst other leftists and they, you know, drop these kind of truth bombs. But anyway, it says a transgender New York University faculty member said in a recent video, trans activism is part of an overall effort to bring about a communist revolution in America. Well, there you have it, bigger than Dallas. In a video from May focused on so-called trans liberation, Kay Gabriel, together with Jules Gleason and Elio Rourke, were part of a series called Rabbles of the World, which features talks with radical thinkers and agitators who are pushing the boundaries of revolutionary queer praxis. Don't you just love how these leftists come up with these crazy titles to their papers and their programs? But anyway, it says Gabriel, a part-time faculty member with New York University's Gallatin School of Individualized Study, is a so-called poet and essayist, according to a bio with some research centered on so-called trans studies. Yeah, I guess they got to be teaching that crap in New York City. Gabriel co-edited We Want It All, an anthology of radical trans poetics in 2020 with Andrea Abri Karim, or Karam, which was nominated for the Lambda Literacy and Publishing Triangle Award. Ira from Spain, who self-identifies as a revolutionary trans feminist and a queer Marxist, began this video, quote, "We have come together for transnational voices of transgender communist politics in order to share our own insights on how trans liberation can foster communist will-making and what under variant," they just make up these terms, "communities within the proletariat to win in engaging the struggle to abolish the present state of things further." Well, if you can understand that long run-on sentence, you're better than me. Anyway, he said, "We aim to diametrically grasp the trans-feminist debate on the abolition of gender and how it can shape both our bodily economy and our political practices as revolutionaries. Gabriel then explains, it is so important for Marxists to actually claim they are political economists. That's how they fly under the radar in these colleges, as if anybody has a doubt, but they claim they're political economists. They're really just communists. Many of us just shy away from saying, like, no, we actually have so many things to say about the structure of the world. Yeah, I know you got a lot to say. It's all dangerous and destructive. But anyway, Gabriel continued, what do trans people in our particularity have to say or to offer that expands the universalism of communist society, one that would be achieved through process and events that we would have to call revolutionary because we would require the abolition of society as it currently is? That's what it's all about. Destroying society. That's what Marxism is always about. And then reconstructing it according to their dark, satanic, murderous ideology. And then they went on to say, when we demand society be rearranged in certain ways, this is part of the project, and it touches on lives that are not just ones that go through medical transition, Gabriel stated. So that makes it pretty clear what all this trans nonsense is about. It's just another tentacle of Marxism. And you know, Bob, you ask why does Kamala Harris make statements about comparing January 6th to 9/11? Well, I think it's very simple, because she knows that'll be picked up by the media and repeated like a bunch of parrots. I mean, lies mean nothing to these people. They just want a talking point that they know will be repeated with robot-like precision by the Marxist media. So anyway, I'm just going to leave it with that. I've had enough of this trans bullshit for one night, but it's got to be talked about, because, well, as this story indicates, and they know what they're doing, it's just part of the Marxist destruction of not just the United States, but the whole West. So anyways, thanks for running the net tonight, Bob, and luckily we had good conditions. I was hoping that they would hold up, and they have. So anyway, 73s to everyone that checked in, and I guess we'll see you next time. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. I think it's interesting on Newsmax, they said that on January 6th, over 1,600 minutes of repeating the word insurrection was used on the ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. Over 1,600 minutes of that rhetoric over and over again. And another comment, when you were talking about installing new vaginas in people, you mentioned Gotham. I think it said Gotham City or something. Wasn't Gotham in Batman the real dark, dismal, murderous city? Isn't that what that was called in Batman?
They quoted somebody from Gothenburg, Sweden, but yeah, you're right, Gotham. They want to turn the whole West into Gotham City, where it's just nothing but rottenness, degeneracy, criminality, and violence. That's really what these people represent.
It's interesting, it's the same word, Gotham. I thought that was unique. Thank you, Bill, KO4FE. Appreciate you being with us tonight, right along till we end. Let me go down to Mr. Russ, KK4WX. Mr. Russell, your final thoughts, round number 73. WX, Mr. Russ, are you with us? Nothing heard, so let me jump down to John in Tennessee. N4XYC, Mr. John, your final thoughts on the 73 route.
Now, okay, Robert, KAAJOY in the Liberty News from November 4, X-Ray Yankee Charlie. It's been a good net. I've enjoyed listening. I've been here most of the time, and heard a lot of good comments and a lot of good articles read, and I don't really have anything else to add, and so I hope everyone has a great week, and we will be listening for you on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on 3995. N4XYC, back to Net Control.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you being with us. God bless you. Hope your week goes well. N4XYZKJY. Next, I'll go down and wave at Mr. Jesse, KG4ZX to the C. Thank you, Jesse, for being here on NetLogger. And while I'm thanking, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for doing the recording. Appreciate seeing them, how quickly you post them. It's always good to see that. Thank you, Paul. Down to Mr. Clint, KC8EHR. Mr. Clint, your final thoughts on the 73 round.
AmericanDefenseNews.com, written on the 8th of January by Paul Crespo, titled "Democrats Are the Insurrectionists and Real Threat to the Constitution," as a Stanford scholar. Despite the hysterical and relentless partisan and media push to betray the violent but unarmed and brief afternoon riot on January 6, 2021, as a quote, deadly insurrection, unquote, and part of a greater threat to democracy, the scholar of the Democrats on the real insurrection. Having a trial without a chief justice presiding. and without a special counsel's report from the hearing for the Hague and cross-examination. He continues by adding that, quote, Hillary Clinton hired a foreign national to concoct a dossier of Russian sources onto Trump. She used her contacts in government and media to feed the dossier to create a national hysteria about Russian collusion.
November, Mr. Reed, your final thought. KQ4,
Echo November, Mr. Reed, your final thoughts? Alrighty, nothing to heard. Do I have any late check-ins or any final bright complaints or comments? Over. Nothing to heard. I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us tonight. My voice held out even though it's a little squeaky, so I appreciate you being with us. As I close the window on this nice Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabas a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to our founder and Simon Key, W1WCR. My prayer is for God to bless this great America. Dear Lord, please be with our first responders, fire, police, EMS, nurses, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, coasties, and sailors, soldiers, airmen, coasties, and Marines. Don't forget the Marines. That's my why I'm a Gold Star father. So anyhow, thank you, thank you. Hopefully by Wednesday I'll have better voice, I hope so. But I am feeling okay for those that have, so with that being said, good night at 73.
You really were a trooper tonight, Bob, WB2JAS. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it.